and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel. I am joined today with Slothy. Slothy, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Brian was going to be here, but we played Magic very late. We played till right around like 1 a.m. kind of thing, streaming.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so if Brian gets up, Brian may join us as well. But yeah, generally speaking, we record Sundays, so it's a good, lovely Sunday morning. Hopefully the weather stays kind of where it is. I think everyone's kind of winding up for holidays, so been a little slow on everything and people just relaxing. I think that's nice. You know, it's the time of the year everyone's coming together with family and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to just kind of, as you said, kind of chill out and take it easy.
Yeah, I'm hoping everyone kind of gets a little bit of time off to actually relax over the holidays. Hopefully, if there's some fun things that you guys like doing, then you'll end up doing those things. But yeah, we're right near the end of the year, so I wanted to do a few discussions. One of them was on just like the cards we like the most for this year. There was so many of them that it's pretty much impossible to not like talk about how many there are, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, without further ado, we'll get into our little lists here. And yeah, I'll start it off by saying like what the sets are and stuff, and then we'll go over each of the ones. So the ones that I'm basing my favorite card list on is going to be Neon Dynasty, Streets of New Capenna, Commander Legends, Baldur's Gate, Dominaria United, Brothers War, and then Jumpstart, because I like some of the Jumpstart stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair metric to look at. I can't possibly go into all the secret layers and everything. No. We get it. There's a lot.
Yeah, lame. My original list had Zangief in it, which was from a secret lair, but then I realized we're gonna have to talk about a lot of secret lairs.
You can bring Zangief up and let's start right there. All right. And stuff. Like talk about that one.
Yeah. Let me just pull the card up real quick. There. Yeah. So Zangief the Red Cyclone. 2 green-red-black legendary human warrior 7/4 must be blocked if able. Has iron muscle. As long as it's your turn, he's indestructible. And he's got Spinning Pile Driver. Whenever he deals damage to a creature, that creature will deal excess damage this turn. That creature's controller sacrifices a non-creature, non-land permanent. This was the first deck that I did after joining Into the 99. And I love this card so much. This with, you know, Turgrid and just being a complete degenerate. So much fun.
I think that was, yeah, the first one that I saw of yours. And I really like the build style. And I always forget Zangief has to be blocked.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it a lot more menacing.
Yeah, because then you have to deal with that sacrifice ability. Because a lot of times people can just say, oh, I'll take it. I'll take the damage, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put myself on a 3-turn clock just to hope to deal with him.
Yeah, I guess he is a 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty strong.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I really, really like it.
Is there more that you like of those secret layers that you wanted to talk to before we get into them, or?
Honestly, other than the Street Fighter one, I haven't really been able to keep too close of an eye on them. There's just been so much.
That's fair. Well, let's go into then the Neon Dynasty and stuff. So that was February 18th set this year. The first of the blocks that we got, they're not really blocks, but it was a return to like a fan favorite plane. We had like cyber ninjas, like, the vehicle mechanic really, really skyrocketed there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to start us off with some of the stuff you like from that set?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely loved the theme of this set, and Mirror Box was my favorite card from it. 3-mana artifact. Legendary rule doesn't apply to permanents you control. Each legendary creature you control gets +1/+1, and each non-token creature you control gets +1/+1 for each creature you control with the same name as that creature.
I always forget that ability too. That's, yeah, the ability to copy your legendary stuff has always been good.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal in any copy strategy.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think I've got a larger list, so you do yours, and then I'll go through mine here. And
yeah, sure. I've also got Ishan, 2 Heavens is 1. He's the doubling attack triggers. I played this one when we played a couple weeks ago. It's super fun deck, gets lots and lots of value, especially for three mana.
Yeah.
That's all that I have to set aside for Kamigawa. What have you got?
I got quite the list. So number one is Kama, the Fractured Calm. This may be one of my favorite commanders of the year, if not my favorite. It's a really, really fun budget deck to play. Kama was the alternative commander in the modified deck. And that modified deck as well is really, really cool. Like the Chishiro thing was a really cool commander too, but I just love this goad mechanic. It is the one it's two colorless, one green, one red, backwards, whatever. It's a spirit, it's 3/3. At the beginning of your end step, you goad each creature your opponent's control that's enchanted by an aura you control. And Kama gets a 1/1 for each creature goaded. I just love this commander. It's been like one of the most fun commanders that I've played in a long time. I always find myself reaching for it. I love the artwork. I love the flavor of the deck. It's just awesome. And then I just got to go through like my mentionables, of course, of like Farewell. Farewell is a card that like just really, really gave white a lot of what it needs. Just that ability to exile artifacts, creatures, enchantments, graveyards. I am not going to read the mana cost of every card and the exact text of every card because I got a real big list. But you guys will pretty quickly understand, like I said, like where my stuff's coming from. These are, by the way, not the best cards of the year. They're just our favorite cards, right?
Yeah.
So I really, really liked the new Dragon Cycle, just the whole cycle in general, like the Junji, all those kind of things. Yeah. I thought that those were just really, really cool. The Channel lands were some of the like strongest lands they've printed in a while.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right, like the Boseiju, that's just a great card. Like, it's not a cast, so it's really, really hard to interact with. It's like one of the better forms of removal in the format right now.
Yeah.
So those were like pretty awesome. Also, Goshintai was from this, and all of the new shrines. Yeah. I loved them. The shrines are really, really fun, and they really, really upgraded, brought kind of a new light to shrine decks. You were kind of stuck with playing like Sisei, the five color Sisei, kind of became the de facto commander for shrines. And then you got like this stuff like Sanctum of All. You got all of the new shrines. I'm pretty sure those were all Kamigawa, right?
That looks like it. You got Ancient Wars, Boundless Vigor, Life's Origin, Lost Wisdom, and Shared Purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So that actually made it so the shrines were really, really like playable. And then the stuff like you were saying, like Mirror Box, really, really upped that, because then you could start throwing in stuff that you were never really playing before, right? You could make two Sanctum of Alls. You could make like two of the draw shrines if you wanted, or the mana shrine. It's just a really fun mechanic. Like one of the guys I play with all the time, Greg, he loves to play the Goshintai deck. Like that's one of his favorite decks, if not his favorite that I've seen. It's on the stream a lot. And it's just a really, really cool thing that they brought to it. Five color shrine commander enchantments was, I think, just like a really, really nice inclusion. I also love Light Paws. Light Paws is too strong as a card.
I kind of forgot about that Light Paws was in this set, actually.
Yeah, like it's a two mana commander that every time an aura enters, if you cast it, you search your library for an aura with mana value less than or equal to it and put it onto Light Paws. Like, Light Paws just gets out of control too fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like, it's, I think it is probably the best commander for just outright blitzing people. Because you can, if you decide, like, if I, pardon me, you can decide, like, if I'm, okay, Slothy's been a problem this game, I can just decide to blitz you. I can go fetch the auras that give me protection from your color specifically, and I can tell everyone, this is coming at Slothy, don't make it come at you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Light Paws is just a really, really cool, and especially, it's a 49-cent card, like, how can you go wrong with a commander that strong at that? It's another really, really, like, solid budget option. I loved everything about Light Paws and the deck. Everyone kind of talked it up, like made it sound like it was so good. And then I built one and I was like, all right, they weren't wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you did one on the podcast.
Yeah. One of the episodes.
It was like $50 and it was one of my favorite decks of the year.
Yeah. It really slaps. I call it the Behold the Light Paws.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No, that one's really good. And then just as a flavor one, it's one of the ones from the my last one on that is Unquenchable Fury. The it's an equipment from that, or I think an enchantment maybe. Either way, it's from the what's it? The modified deck.
Yeah,
that is. It's the one with Chishiro, Kama, all those things. It is an enchantment, yeah. Yeah. But it's just whenever the creature attacks, whenever this creature attacks, deals X damage where X is the number of cards in your hand. Again, great and amazing with Yishin. Like, if you put that in, that doubles up. If I'm holding, like, seven cards, you're hitting me for 14 off the gate before your card hits.
Yeah.
And when it's put into the graveyard from the battlefield, you return it to your hand. So it keeps going. It's just a really, really solid enchantment. What are you looking at?
Yeah, trying to find... There it is. 1-2 that I just thought of that I don't think we mentioned. Shorakai, Genesis Engine.
A lot of people love that one, yeah.
Yeah, 8-8 Legendary Vehicle. It lets you draw cards, create pilots that let you crew for two more than what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I really like that set. I thought there was, that brought a lot. There's tons of honorable mentions and other things. I'm just, like I said, I'm just mentioning the things that are my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm a pretty big fan of those cards. I think it brought a lot of options for Commander things. The Biobox Satoru was also a really cool mention. They put so many ninjas back in so that the Yuriko decks, like, really flourished. A lot of people love this set.
Yeah, absolutely. And like just kind of one more of a flavor thing before we moved on. One of my favorite bands released an album this year. It's called Lotus, the Bands Within Destruction. That all I can think of when I hear it is Neon Dynasty, because it is the same kind of thing, like cyber ninjas and
that's pretty
all
cool.
That stuff. It's so good.
I like that. That's pretty awesome. We go ahead, sorry.
They all play Magic too, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was going to say for our next set, we went to Streets of New Capenna. April 29th is the release of that set. And if I'm wrong on these release dates, that's too bad. This is what I looked up. So, but yeah, so I think it was from April 29th at least. But let's first talk about what the set was supposed to be. The set was supposed to be like three color demon families. It was supposed to be the Commander release of the year, but everything turned out to be the Commander release of the year.
I loved the feel of this set. Very, like, 30s mob families.
You did like this one.
I absolutely loved this set.
I was actually really let down by the set. I thought that they had, like, such a cool opportunity to... You know what, though? I wasn't let down by the flavor of the set. The gangster families thing, I was kind of indifferent to. I was like, meh. But I just... They came at me with, like, three-color demon families, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, we're gonna get some crazy stuff. And then they're just like, how about we give you Bant Goat?
Treasures.
Yeah, Bant Goat. And I'm like, what? Why would I want Bant Goat? And they're just like, yeah, but like if you put a creature on some or counter on someone else's creature, then you get an effect. And I'm like, this is not good. That one really, really let me down. The commanders as well, I thought were kind of weaker commander decks for the year.
Yeah, I remember kind of when this set was spoiled, Lord Xander was supposed to be like, oh, this big earth-shaking thing, and then it was just kind of, eh.
Have you seen one hit the table?
Yes.
I still haven't seen it played.
Yeah, like, I've been... It's just kind of been not as impactful as people made it out to, like it was going to be.
Yep. I agree. Like I said, there was definitely some value in the set, and I do definitely have some cards I really, really liked from it. Mm-hmm. I'll let you start us off if you have a few things you like from this one.
Absolutely. So the big thing for me in this set was the remainder of the Triomes. I've mentioned it tons and tons on the podcast, but my favorite deck of all time is Derevi. And having that Triome Sparas Headquarters come in was awesome.
They did need to finish that cycle, and what a great time to finish it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We also had one of my favorite commanders of the year, Ginny Fay, lets you make cats and dogs instead.
Yeah, very true.
A couple others. Big one. Sure, with how I build, a lot of people saw this one on the list. An offer you can't refuse.
They've got that one on my list too. I think that's a phenomenal card. So many people kept saying, oh yeah, that trade's not worth it. That trade is worth it.
That trade is absolutely worth it.
You know what I mean? If you're, again, I play Finale of Glory in every deck I can. And if you're going to deal with it for one mana and I get two treasures instead of 20 soldiers and 24/4 angels with vigilance, that's a good trade.
Yeah. Having, like you said, like big, like Finales of Glory countered for one mana, even though you get two treasure tokens back, that still feels really bad for you.
The same with like a Cyclonic Rift, you know, you trade two treasure tokens for every permanent you control. That's wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, really liked that one. I thought that was going to be a great card, and I just seen it climb in price definitely shows that people are using it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a $2 uncommon now or something like that.
Yeah, it's you know they're good when they get up that, especially as a recently released one.
Yeah, definitely. I've also got Halo Fountain on my list.
That one's on mine too. It's a phenomenal extra win condition.
Absolutely. This card is so good. Being able to pay one in tap to create a token, two in tap, untap two tapped creatures and draw a card, or five white and tap to untap 15 tapped creatures and win the game.
Yeah, I think it's got such a phenomenal engine in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, this is one where if you go out and attack and deal, like get fogged or something, it's still okay. I can just untap everything and win the game.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, right? A lot of times I have situations where I make it so you can't win, right? Everyone's seen a Pillow Fort deck. Everyone's seen all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Having that I win condition is a really, really nice backup plan, right? A lot of times beaten face is one option, but sometimes Brian's notorious for it. Like you've got a full swing. You try to take him out. He Teferi's protections, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can only do so much against that, right? If Brian's got a board wipe in hand, you've lost your one shot to kill him with that Teferi's protection.
Yeah.
So it is nice to just be able to be like, okay, well, I'll drop this down, and then here we go. I win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cards that let you win, I think, are really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a reason that, like, Thassa's Oracle is so powerful.
Yep. I on the stream last night, we lost to... Logan pulled out a really, really good Muldrotha self-mill win with the Lab Jace.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, I win is very nice.
Yeah.
So, no, this was like a pretty fun set. Like, I really, really think, first and foremost, that one of my favorites is the best Angel Commander they've ever printed. That's Giada. Card just does everything. It does literally everything you could imagine wanting in an Angel Commander, except for putting them in for free. That's the only difference. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, another two mana commander. It's one and a white. It's got flying. It's got vigilance. It's an angel. It's a 2/2. Those are amazing stats outright for 2/2. Then it has each other angel you control enters with an additional 1/1 counter for each angel you already control, making just these junk angels like Sergovian Angel, for example, it can come in as like a 10/10.
Yeah.
So that's already really good. And then on top of that, it ramps. You tap it for white, you spend it only for angel spells. Again, this is just everything you want in a commander for an angel deck. It's just great. Having access to one of the other colors might have been good. Like, red would have made this just bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's no, it's just
why they didn't do it.
Yeah. But even as just a mono white angel deck, I've played this deck a handful of times, not as many as I'd like to have, but around the 10 mark, and it's performed great every time. Like, especially when you're considering that it's a mono white angel deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you can, my earlier version of this deck had a Helm of the Host in it, and I was able to get that onto Giada.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And yeah, that just gets pretty silly and stuff if you've got 4 or 5 Giadas, they enter every time as like 7/7s, and then everything else gets like 5/1/1 counters for each other angel you control. It just gets really out of hand, but it's kind of costly to get that Helm of the Host going unless you've got a lot of the... My initial version, I was worried, so I stuffed in like these huge like mana crypt, mana vault, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to ramp these angels out, and that was not needed whatsoever.
No, like, I can definitely see where you'd be a little nervous And yeah, I think having red so you could have access to something like Treasonous Ogre even.
Yeah.
Would be insane with this deck.
Oh yeah, well, or like even just the mana echoes to get the extra stuff out on the ETB. It's really good. But Panharmonicon in a deck like this is really, really good. But no, Giada was just a pretty amazing card. I also just live for Jetmir.
Yes, yes.
That is just one of the silliest cards I've ever seen. There's so many ways to build Jetmir. I've built two Jetmir decks already. It's the artwork on it is really cool. The flavor on it's really cool, but it is a win from the command zone. It is your win condition right in the command zone. It's a Naya deck, so it's one, a green, a red, and a white. It's a 5/4, which is already nuts stats. Like four mana for a 5/4 is great. Creatures you control get 1/0 and have vigilance as long as you control three or more creatures, and this counts Jetmir, so Jetmir now becomes a 6/4. Then creatures you control get also get +1/+0 and have trample as long as you have six or more creatures. So Jetmir and five other creatures is +2/+0 vigilance trample and a 7/4. And then if you have nine creatures, including Jetmir, all your creatures, again, including Jetmir, get +3/+0 vigilance trample double strike. Like this is an insane card.
Yeah, this card's nuts.
It's this is the deck that I built for my fiance when she was like learning Magic the most and stuff, right? Like at the very beginning of it. And oh man, I have just been blasted in the face by like these, like if you get like you get a Beastmaster's Ascension out, something like this. Now they're +8/+5 trample double strikers. I'm getting hit by like an 8/7 Birds of Paradise double striking me in the face. Like it just goes crazy.
Quip the bird.
Yeah, like it's literally all you need to do for a deck like this is just fill it with mana dorks and just run train on the table. Jetmir's great. There's like no bad way to build Jetmir, I think, unless you for some reason tried to make a creatureless Jetmir. Yeah. Jetmir's just a silly commander, and I definitely think that it's a great commander for teaching people to play the game because it's real easy to make a strong Jetmir deck. As well, it's fun because a lot of times you hear people say, this is just another quick aside of Jetmir, you hear people say, oh yeah, like if I had one more turn. Well, Jetmir actually does have that, like if I had one more turn, it will sweep the table. So because we've got those Boros colors, I was able to stuff into like my very first version of this deck, I stuffed in the take an extra turn after this, you lose cards.
Yeah.
Like Chance for Glory and stuff like that. No one sees that coming. No one sees that you're like, okay, well, sure, he just hit Slothy for 100, but now Daniel's at least got to take a turn. They've got Vigilance, so I can't attack him, but I got a turn, and I just, okay, I'll quickly Chance for Glory. My creatures are all indestructible. I'll take another turn, and that Chance for Glory is rough. If you tried to board wipe the Jetmir player, and it only has one turn left, and it turns to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jetmir's a great one. I've built three of them already. I'm probably going to build another one for myself. Jetmir is just a deck that I've also constantly liked to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I had just a few other things on it. I think Extravagant Replication, that blue card where at the beginning of my upkeep I make a copy of another permanent.
Yeah.
That's an amazing card from the Commander deck. I wish that was printed more widely. Slip Out the Back.
Slip Out the Back, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah, the target creature phases out, gets a 1/1. That's really, really strong. Again, when I'm talking about that Jetmir deck, right? If you are trying to deal with Jetmir and I'm trying to swing a Birds of Paradise at you and you just phase Jetmir out, that Birds becomes real small again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I liked that one. And then I really like Tivit, Seller of Secrets, the Democrasphinx.
Yes, the Democrasphinx.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. I played that one on stream recently and that'll be going up. Yep. Maybe that's the one I'll put up this week. That's a really, really fun deck. Yeah, you were in that deck, that game too. Yep. Yeah, the Democrasphinx is just a really cool card. It's you get the extra vote, you get treasures and treasures or clues on the ETB. It's just a really, really fun deck to play in Pilot. I was very excited to build that one when I first saw it. And then Witness Protection. I would be foolish to not mention Witness Protection because of how silly I like that card. Yep. Like, it's just a really good card. It's such good removal. There's also one, it's an enchantment that all creatures have to attack the player you put it on.
Yep.
That's also a really good one. I just can't think of the name right now.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Let me quickly check. This'll sound shorter in post, I'm sure. It'll sound like I'm just really good at looking Mind stuff. It. It's a blue we'll enchantment.
We'll fix it in post, guys.
Yeah. While I search, yeah, this will be a great time. If any of these cards on the list are expensive and you want to play them, go over to abyssproxyshop.com. You'll be able to get all of the cards you want, really, really good quality on all of them, and it'll just be at a fraction of the price of the normal ones, letting you get back out and have fun. Make new decks, support your LGS by getting out and actually buying cards, because again, right, if you want to build a deck and the commander's like $100 and you're not going to build that, that's not going to be great. And as well, if you want to build a deck and, you know, this deck really needs a doubling season, but you don't have doubling season money, are you going to not build a deck and buy none of the cards, or are you going to just proxy the doubling season, buy the rest, everyone's still happy? So, yes, again, abyssproxyshop.com, and our promo code is IT99. That helps us out. That helps you out getting cool new cards, and it's great, great quality stuff. So,
yeah,
go check that out. And I still have not found this card. Oh, I did find it. I did find it. Okay, we're good. I knew it all along. So, it's Public Enemy. It's just 2 and a blue. All creatures attack enchanted creatures controller if able. When it dies, you draw a card. That's a really, really good card to force everyone to swing at someone that you don't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that one's always been really, really good. And yeah, that's kind of where I fell for the Streets of New Capenna and stuff. Like, it was a pretty cool set looking back at it, but I wanted the commander decks to be better. The Strixhaven ones, for instance, like, they were really good.
Yeah, I still play Ozgear relatively frequently.
Ozgear's really, really good.
Yeah, Ozgear. Back when that set came out, I was primarily a Boros player.
Yep.
But kind of like following in with how everybody thought at the time, because this was like before they started tipping the scale and giving white, red, all of the support. It was like, I want to make this good. And then Ozgear came.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Ozgear, yeah, I can't say enough good things about Strixhaven. I loved everything they did about it. I didn't get that feeling this year.
That's fair, yeah. I don't think I've bought any of the pre-cons this year.
I bought the Kama and Chishiro, and then they're just like, oh, and I guess I bought all of I bought all of the new Capenna ones, and
new Capenna.
And I bought the 40K ones. Let me tell you, the 40K ones were good. I will.
Those ones, yeah.
Yeah, 40K as a universe is beyond. Let me just like explain my favorite cards from that. It's everyone. Every one of those cards is one of my favorite cards from 40K. They're really good. The mono deck one, the mono black vehicles artifacts thing, that may be the best precon they've ever printed. It's crazy. If you can get your hands on it, definitely get one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they put way too many like cards in that, and then they made it way too expensive by just telling everyone last minute, oh yeah, by the way, teehee, we're not reprinting this, because where would we?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, they're like, we can reprint it, we just won't. But yeah, they were really, really good. Like, I've seen a lot of really, really cool 40K commanders. I keep trying to make this Balakor thing work, and I've got to put it in a different deck. I just can't leave it in its precon. It sucks.
Yeah.
The Chaos one is just so not focused. It's like a half Demon Tribal, half Cascade Tribal deck, and they don't work together at all.
Yeah, no, those don't.
No, it's not great, but like it's a fun one. The artifact one is just crazy. There's really, really cool artifacts in that one. I'm blanking on the name of it. Bioluminescence. That's the one. That's just a really cool card, making all those tokens.
Yeah.
The Marnius Caligar, or however you say that one, whenever a token enters, you make every token enters, you draw a card, and then it's got a mana sink for making tokens. That's a great commander as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so those were like pretty cool ones, but I didn't really write down anything for those ones because, again, there's just so many in that set that it's just crazy. Next, we went to Commander Legends Baldur's Gate. Let me tell you, I could have made a list. I summarized a lot of my list. I'll let you start because I'm sure we have some similar ones, but this set rocked. I can't,
this was my favorite set.
I cannot say enough good things about this set. The first Baldur's Gate was garbage, and I, you know?
Yeah.
The first one was terrible, and the only saving thing on it was the commander decks from that one. Those were great, like Prosper and all that stuff.
Yeah, Prosper, Galea.
Yeah, the first Forgotten Realms thing sucked. They made a bunch of terrible cards. Like, I'm sure people like some of them, but that set sucked. That set made me upset. It was not good at all. And man, did they redeem it. This set, I there's like cards all the way down to the commons that I loved. Like, this is probably the set I built the most from this year and that I play the absolute most from. So I will let you take it away. This was the June 10th set, and I thought this set was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you as this one. This set was absolutely perfect, in my opinion. I could ramble on about this one forever.
If I played draft, I would have drafted this nonstop.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I just don't.
But yeah, my favorite card from this set, and one of my favorite commanders, not just of the year, but ever, Abdel Adrian Gorian Sword.
Yep.
I knew that was
on your list, yep.
100%. 4 and a white for a 4/4 legendary human warrior. When it enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-land permanents you control until he leaves the battlefield, and create a 1/1 white soldier for each permanent exiled this way, and choose a background. Let me tell you this, there is almost no wrong background that I've found. I'm working on building one with every color pairing.
Yep.
And oh my, like, I'm Candlekeep Sage is my favorite right now. That's the blue one. Just lets you draw a bunch of cards, flicker Abdel in and out. But then you've got the, what is it, Agent of the Iron Agent of the Iron Throne.
Yep.
Where it's basically black white World Gorger combo. It's just, it's so good.
Oh yeah, I never even thought about that one. That's
cool. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I liked all the backgrounds, to be honest. I just loved all of them. Baeloth was on mine as an honorable mention, and Zelix.
Yeah.
The mill one was just really fun. It's a really cool mill commander that makes you all these horrors. Like, that was wicked. That was just a really fun one. Baeloth was super cool. The gold one, especially when you pair that with, because it has the choose a background, you pair that with Raised by Giants, and it's like a 10/10 everything, 10, yeah. 10 or less is goated. That's awesome.
Yeah, I will say I am extremely glad that they made the background commanders monocolored.
Yep, I like that.
Just so that they didn't have the same thing as with the partners, where it's like, oh god, this is four color
pile, but it's also gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, really hope that they continue the background mechanic, and because that would be a great thing for the next Commander Legends, is another set of choose a background and another set of backgrounds to mix mash even more. Partner, I think, is too overwhelming. I love partner, one of my favorite mechanics in the game, but it's just been shown time and time again that it's not a good idea to print. It's not a good idea to make Sakashima and then make me have to buy a Sakashima every time I try and make a deck, you know? Yoshimaru Sakashima, very fun deck.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just, there's, at a certain point, like, some of the partner, we have to just, come on, everyone's seen a Thrasios and Timna deck. Like, we know what they do. We know who you are.
Yeah, Thrasios, Timna, then you got the first Commander Legends where you had Kraken and Sakashima.
I was going to say, I was doing Kraken, or a Kraken Vile Smasher. I was doing it called Kraken Vials.
Yeah.
Like, they're too good of pairings. Like, even a deck that I played for a while was Silas Wren and Vile Smasher as an artifact themed deck, and that deck was just stupid. I was able to get all these Tezzerets out nonstop. I was able to just, it was just a dumb deck. Like, and I was getting constantly different, like, it was just too much.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, and I think with the Chuza background, they made it feel very fresh and balanced. Like, yeah, you can do, going back to Abdel Adrian, with Kendall Keep Sage, you can just keep flickering it, getting a bunch of cards, getting a bunch of tokens, then just winning.
Yep.
But you can't just do that from the command zone.
Yeah.
You have to pick your background, and they just feel to me a lot more balanced than a lot of the partners, especially the 2016 partners.
Yeah, and like I said, these were just fun to build. I just have so many decks from this set. The number of cards was the biggest, I think, crime, quote unquote, Wizards did this year was not giving this set like time to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what, the next set was out less than a month later.
Yeah, they just stuffed these sets like back in, like they're just back to back. Like again, like this was June 10th. Dominaria United was like September 9th. So there was no time.
And we also had Double Masters July 8th in between there too.
Oh yeah, I didn't put anything in for July or for the Double Masters, but that had great reprints.
Yep. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so my list for this, like, again, fairly large. I think you still have a few more, but, like, I said that the entire background cycle was great.
Oh, yeah.
The Ancient Dragon cycle was pretty cool, like the roll of D20 dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty fun. It's a shame that those are so expensive because they made them kind of the chase cards of the set.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing as what they did with the original Forgotten Realms too, isn't it? Like, all the Ancient Dragons were the expensive ones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it felt a little bad.
Yeah.
But I loved, like, one of the cards that I put into so many decks right now is just Descent into Avernus. Every turn, every one of my turns, it makes the double treasures and it doubles the amount of damage, so, like, two more damage every turn. It puts a clock on games. It ramps the table, like, in a group hug fashion. It's just a chaotic card, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a really, really fun one. Endless Evil, I think, is an amazing enchantment. I bought every one of those that I could find.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on a creature. Oh, yeah, sorry. I've got another one to mention, too. You put it on a creature, and then you make, like, 1/1 copies of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. I was going to say one of my favorite decks of the year was your Captain, however you pronounce it, deck.
Captain Ngothrod.
Yeah, like, that was a really, really cool deck, the Horror of Captain Ngothrod. Yeah, that was a really, really fun one, and that was also from this, right?
Yes, that was from one of the commander decks.
Yeah, from Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm. This one was actually on my list too.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say I really, really like that deck. I thought you put that one together really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I also have Glunch on mine. Glunch the Bestower. Glunch. I love yelling it's Glunch time and then playing just silly group hug deck. It's been one of my favorite group hug commanders for a while now, and it's again, I can't say enough good things about it. It gives 1/1s, it gives draw, it gives treasures the moment it hits the board. So even if you're playing it and stuff, it's not unheard of to drop a turn 2 Glunch in a very budget deck. If you get a Sol Ring turn 1, you have your Glunch turn 2, and that you go into turn 3 with 5 mana.
Yeah.
Right, like it's pretty silly like how strong that one could ramp. I love it.
Yeah.
Super, super into Glunch. Did you have any other ones that you have on that list before I continue mine?
Oh, I've got plenty.
Okay, please go ahead.
Got Nine Fingers Keen on my list as well. This one kind of, I loved this card to bits, but it's also kind of meh, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's 4/4 ward, pay 9 life. Then you can, when it deals combat damage, look at the top 9 cards, put a gate from among them onto the battlefield. Then if you control 9 or more gates, put the rest in your hand, otherwise at the bottom of your library in a random order. I really like it.
Yeah.
But
that was your first land-based one, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, definitely one of the first. There's one. I'm just going to take this one because I assume it's on your list as well. Mirum Sentinel Worm.
Yep, that was definitely one of mine. That card's bonkers.
That card's so good. I don't think I gave it the respect it deserved when it first came out, or when it was first spoiled. But 3 and teamer for a 6/6 dragon spirit flying ward 2. Whenever another non-token dragon enters the battlefield under your control, create a token that's a copy of it, except it isn't legendary.
Yeah,
that is just bonkers. That's insane.
It's that one's pretty good, especially like, again, I say, I've said a lot, the best angel commander. This is the best dragon commander. There is not a better dragon commander. Ur-Dragon gives you more colors, but this is amazing. You don't have to deal with legendary things. You make your tokens. Like,
see, I would probably run this one just in the 99 of like Tiamat or something, so I can just fetch it anyway.
Yep. Oh, Mirim just gets out of control so fast. It's the perfect colors for ramping. It's the perfect colors for drawing into more of these dragons. Oh, it is a phenomenal dragon commander, and that token theme built right into it. You can double it up so easy. There's been, like I said, Aatrox the Neph, which does work with this one.
Yep.
Because you make tokens. I think actually, let me double check. But I'm pretty sure that you double it up that way.
I think you would, yeah.
Whenever another non-token permanent enters, you create a copy. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Panharmonicon's a token doubler in this deck. It's just a wicked one, and again, making it not legendary is crazy.
Yeah, true.
Especially if you can start getting, like, tokens of Mirren itself. Then every time you get dragons, you double up your dragons. It's a really good card. It's a really, really good card.
Yeah, this was one of, like you said, the best dragon commanders that we've gotten ever.
Yeah, it's, I also think it's the most budget-friendly one. You don't have to worry about the five colors of mana like you normally would. Although they are making that better with, again, like you said, the Triomes that they've brought out this year. Like, that's been great stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely making it so you can build three, four, five colors. Very budget on the mana base.
I like that now, yeah.
Another one, and this is as a pairing, but you hear a Friend of the Forest with Inspiring Leader.
Yep.
This was a deck that I built earlier as well, and you can just do bonkers stuff with Jahira, making tons of tokens, creating tons of mana, dumping it into whatever you want, making Inspiring Leader a creature.
Yep. Jahira is a really, really good one. I also really liked Halsin, the make your Halsin tokens bears. Yeah.
Yeah.
Behold the Treasure Bears. Yeah, that was a really, really good one. Jahira is great in so many decks.
Oh, absolutely.
As a commander, as not a commander, like, that's a great card. I still don't think you've seen my Jahira and Street Urchin deck where I just hurl these tokens at people.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, because it turns all of my Jahira care, like, makes tokens tap for things, and I can use those tokens to tap for the ability to throw them at people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a fun pairing.
Nice.
Did you have any other ones before I rip my final ones off here?
I had one more. Displacer Kitten.
Yep, I forgot that was in this set.
3 and a blue for a 2/2 cat beast. It's got avoidance. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, exile up to one target non-land permanent you control, then return it to the battlefield.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the art is adorable.
Yeah, that one's real good.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so I don't have too many more on this one. For me, Wand of Wonder. Yeah, I can't get enough of that card. I love the chaos aspect of it. I love the fact that I can possibly chaos wand three people a turn.
yeah.
So I put that in a ton of decks. That was just a really, really good one. Wild Magic Surge. Mm-hmm. Again, another like just chaotic destroy spell, which I just love. I love every part about it. And you, because Wild Magic Surge, I'm just going to double check exactly what that one is. But I know it's a double, it is a double red.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Magic Surge, yeah. Destroy target permanent opponent controls. They reveal from the top until they reveal a permanent that shares a type with it. Put it onto the battlefield. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I play like some higher power pods and stuff. It is just a nice way to blow someone's like cradle off the table at instant speed, and they can go get their next land or, you know, something problematic that is going to make it so I can't win the game. I'm willing to take that gamble advice. So yeah, that one's really cool. I loved Wilson. I made 5 Wilson decks. Wilson was just a silly card. It is. I don't even have to look that one up because I got another one right beside me. It's Wilson Refined Grizzly. It's 1 and a green. The stats on this thing. It's a bear warrior. It's 2/2. Can't be countered. So 2/2 can't be countered at 2 mana. With Vigilance, Reach, Trample, Ward 2, and choose a background. Like, this card is statted up.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's, I all of them are, I really got to get somebody to alter all of them so that they fit the theme. Because, like, I've got, like, Wilson Street Brawler. Stuff like that. Like, it's just Wilson Raised by Giants. I love every part of it. Wilson's great. Wilson, Agent of the Iron Throne. Yeah, it's a fun deck. And then I also just really liked Marching Duodrone. I thought that was a cool, and Decanter Endless Waters, but Marching Duodrone, yeah. Whenever it, again, let me double check. You'd think I'd pull these up before I start, hey? It's whenever it attacks, each player creates a treasure token. That's a great way to get chip damage in. Most people are going to just happily take 2 damage so that we give the table ramp.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like I said, I've got no problem with this one.
No.
The that was my favorite set of the year, I would have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that one was perfect, as I said. Like, there's so much that I liked about that one. There's so much that they improved from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms from last year. It's almost like they took the feedback.
Yeah, you'd think, but I would not hold my breath if they were doing that. No. Yeah, Marching Duodrone was really, really cool as a card. I liked that mm-hmm. one. I liked the set. Like I said, I can't say any real bad things about this one.
No, it was so much fun.
Yeah, right. Let's hit Dominaria United, September 9th set.
Sure. I've only got a couple out of this one.
Yeah, mine's pretty small on this one too.
The first, like, kind of the big one that I had here was Vesuvian Duplomancy. 3 and a blue, it's an enchantment. Whenever you cast a spell that targets only a single artifact or creature you control, create a token that's a copy of that artifact or creature, except it's non-legendary.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This one kind of gets out of hand when you got multiple copies of things.
Yeah.
Making multiple copies of things.
It's that one's really good in that Ivy deck where you're every time you target Ivy, you target your others.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
Yeah. What else did you like in this one?
I also liked a Johnny Sleeper Agent in this one. Probably like the only Planeswalker I liked this year.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, I didn't mind Tasha from Baldur's Gate. But Johnny Sleeper Agent, it's completed. +1, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature, Planeswalker, put it in your hand. Otherwise, you may put it on the bottom. -3, distribute 3 +1/+1 counters among up to 3 target creatures. They gain vigilance until end of turn. Or you can -6, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a creature or planeswalker spell, target opponent gets 2 planeswalker or poison counters. I really like this one in, like I mentioned, I think 2 or 3 times already in my Derevi deck. It's just gets out of hand really, really quick if you can get that -6 off, and just you're able to just repeatedly cast Derevi, just kind of whittle everyone down with poison counters until you win the game.
Yeah, that is actually a really good emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you liked on that one?
I think that was kind of about it that I know, or that I, yeah, the other ones I think are probably on your list too, so I'll just talk about them when you talk about them.
Yeah, mine are pretty small. Number one, the new shoulder is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's, I think that was like kind of everyone's list. That's kind of the chase card.
Yeah.
I really like the cycle of tap duels. I, again, think that people should just play as if they're real duels and not tap, because you shouldn't spend thousands of dollars for a working land base.
No. Like, I meant to say this when you were talking about Abyss Proxy Shop, but I want to play against your deck, not against your wallet.
Yep.
Proxy cards.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, like, right? I've always maintained that, like, nobody wants me to win, like, with a CDH deck on, like, turn 1 or turn 2 against just casual decks, but then is happy that I owned the cards, you know?
Yeah, no, like, I think...
Like, that... no one's just like, oh, yeah, like, that, like, turn 1, like, just, like, play my hand out, like, get a Mana Vault, a Lotus Petal, Mana Crypt, a turn 1 Urza, like... I start doing that. Yeah. I roll into a staff or a static orb, something like that. Like, no one's like, oh, well, like, at least he owns those cards. That everyone's like, that's annoying, and we don't like that, right?
Yeah, no, unless your pod's playing like that, which in that case, proxies are usually very friendly anyway.
Yeah, it's just if you proxy over the power level, sure, it's going to be annoying. But if you play over the power level, it's already annoying anyways, regardless of if you own the card.
Yeah, yeah, like you were saying, it's not like, oh yeah, I got stomped by a turn 1 Godo win.
Yeah. But at least he owned them.
He owns that Lion's Eye Diamond. That's a real card. That's cool.
Yeah, right. It's just like the game's meant to be played, and that's why I think that the tap duels are like so cool. They're like 10 cents. It's really easy to just like have a conversation with your play group and be like, guys, we're all adults. Let's just play like these are just normal duels.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a play group that I play that way with. It doesn't break the game. It makes people able to play, like, you see a lot of people more willing to build like a sliver deck or like some cool five color Morophon stuff. Playing that way, if you have the cards, it's not going to impact you. If you don't have the cards, it's going to open up a lot for you. Trust me, it's fun. Just try it.
Yeah, you don't have to have been... I'm of the opinion, because I was born in the early 2000s, after when they had printed the dual lands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people should be kind of punished for being born 10 years too late.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I like that one. Another one I had on this list was Chaotic Transformation.
Chaotic Transformation.
Yeah, it's a 5-colorless, 1 red. It's a sorcery. You exile up to 1 target artifact, creature, enchantment, planeswalker, and or land. And then for each permanent, they reveal until they get something that shares a card type with it and put it on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this hits a lot of stuff. I think that this is just a really, really strong card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if I hit you with all of them, you choose which one you do first.
Yeah.
So, worth noting and stuff. I liked Relic of Legends. I thought that was just a great mana ramp card. Just 3 mana, lets you tap your legendaries. That's just super solid, especially in things like Anor and the Wary kind of deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like that's I like that one. And then I like Greensleeves a lot. Greensleeves is a card they never should have printed.
Greensleeves was perfect.
Yeah, I don't know why they would print green sleeve. Like, it's literally the exact same thing. In the next set, I'm also going to name Titania. They do the same thing. Why would you print landfall on a commander like that? Just both just make creatures.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems irresponsible of the design team. And both of those decks just go off because killing green sleeves doesn't really matter. I'll just make another one with the whole deck is land ramp. There's nothing else in it.
No, there's no need to be anything else in it.
Yeah, and like this Greensleeves is just like a bonkers card. It's protection from planeswalkers, wizards, power and toughness equal to lands you control, and every time a creature enter or a land enters, you get a badger.
Yeah.
So like you get 3 power on that one, which is a lot. There's like no downside to running like things like a Field of the Dead where you're just like trying to the whole deck just gets out of hand really fast. And then they did the same thing with Titania. It's like 6 mana. You can play Forest from your grave, which is very strong. Whenever Forest enters, you get a 5/3, which again is very strong. Like any just like solid Reshape the Earth, for instance, that gives you 50 power if your commander's out. Like 50 power for 10 mana. That's a problem, that's obviously.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can say like, oh, at least it's only forest. It's like, okay, but it's a mono green deck. There's
only going to be forests.
There's nothing bad about running only forests. You can run 40 forests and not be like inconvenienced by it.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, both of those cards were on my favorites of the year. They're both built basically the same way. Like just land ramp, just here you go.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And then that was my last one for it. We're getting close to the end of our list here.
Well, in that case, before we jump on, there's like 2 or 3 more that I'd like to say that I thought were going to be on your list.
Sure.
Joda, Archmage Eternal.
Joda was really fun.
Or Joda, the Unifier, Archmage Eternal.
I knew what you meant, though. Yeah, Joda was very fun as well. I forgot that one.
Yeah, it's like +X/+X, where X is the number of legendary creature you control, and then it's got Legendary Cascade.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was a fun deck. I should play that deck more, too.
Yeah. Then there was also Soul of Wind Grace, which is one that I totally forgot was in this set until we were just talking about it just now.
Yep.
1 red, green, black, 5/4 cat avatar. Enters the battlefield or attacks the land card from a graveyard on the battlefield tapped into your control. You can discard lands to gain life, draw cards, or give it indestructible.
Yeah.
This is a degenerate deck.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. If they could change one word in this and it would be totally fine, and that is from a graveyard.
Yeah, I always forget that it's like when we're looking at it. I thought it was from my graveyard, and I was like, "This is great."
Yeah, no, it's from any graveyard.
Yeah, exactly. You've always wanted to play with a guy's cradle, just destroy mine.
Exactly. It's a quick way to save $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Then the last one is Maria, Scholar of Antiquity.
Oh, I do love that one. That's a
what.
Degenerate card for sure.
1 red, green for a 3/3 elf artificer. Tap an untapped non-token artifact you control to add green. or tap two untap non-token artifacts you control, exile the top card of your library, you may play it this turn.
Yeah.
Gruul Urza.
Yeah, that one's rough.
Yeah, that's...
And yeah, and it gives you the draw engine where you can, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's rough.
Yeah, that was all the ones that I had from the Dominaria United.
Yeah, so we'll go into Brothers War, November 18th again, because why wouldn't they give us a time to, again, digest that set?
Yeah, it's... Please give us, like, four sets a year, again, all set in the same place.
Right?
Please.
Yeah, okay, so my list on this one's, again, very small. Number one, mm-hmm. Awake in the Woods. That card is just...
That card is...
Everything. That card's perfect. It's a mana sink. Every part of that card is something I like.
Yeah, absolutely. That card is... It's so good.
Yeah, I wish they could have printed it somehow at a common so I could just pick infinite of these up.
I wish they could print this... absolutely bonkers token generation card.
Yeah, common. Just like, again, the fact that it's not instant is at least like kind of keeping it a little bit in check, but not really.
No, not in green where you have ways of generating
right
stupid amounts of mana anyway.
Well, yeah, like, and this is a staple for every landfall deck because it's, again, it's just an X spell that X turns into landfall triggers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is green forest dry creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, if you, again, like, if I have 10 mana, or, like, I can make X10 with Titania, I make, you know, another 50 power and get 10 more forests. In Greensleeves, yeah. I would make another 30 power of Badgers and increase Greensleeves' power by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. They should have never printed something like this.
No, I definitely agree with that.
I run it in so many decks, and again, like things like in a Windgrace. Oh man, forget it's about so it. Good. Like in OG Windgrace, when I have like I've turned all of my things into like I have four Valakuts out.
Yep.
Yeah, this becomes a problem. Yeah, this is really really good. They've been printing a lot of great landfall commanders, like the new mm-hmm. Omnoth is like really really cool. Again, the green sleeves. There's so many.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, it's a problem. That's one of my favorite ones. I love Mural as well. Mural's very strong.
Yes, yes, Mural is very, very good.
Yeah, I'll read that one again quickly, too. That is the 3 and a white for a human soldier, 3/4 during your turn. Opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of creatures, artifacts, or enchantments, which is awesome. And then whenever Mural attacks, you create X11 colorless soldier artifact tokens where X is the number of soldiers you control. Like, again, just a very strong card.
See, you could have left it after the first little paragraph there.
Yeah, and it still would have been played.
And then just have, like, yeah, perma silence on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Well, and especially even just being able to look at either of those abilities would have made this a playable card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
That bottom ability without the silence thing would have been just still great for, like, it still would have been amazing as a card, but that's the problem, is you can't remove Mural when Mural comes down. Once it's in play, you can't get rid of it at the, like, on that turn at least.
Yeah, no, you gotta wait till your turn or somebody else's turn that's not the Mural player.
But that gives them time to protect it, you know, like, usually, yeah. If there's a problem, like, if I know you have an annoying commander, I can at least, like, okay, well, you're gonna play a Trax, I've got a Swords in hand, I'll get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do anything about that now, so I play Mural. Mural's out, and then I put, like, Lightning Greaves out, and you can't counter it or do anything to it. You can't remove Mural, and then now Mural's, like, untargetable.
Yeah, then you're just kind of hooped.
And swinging at you and making soldiers, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mural's just a really, really strong card. Another one on my list is Taunos. We just talked about Taunos as a deck. I love that deck. It's so fun to play. It's so stupid to, like, play the bird version. The Beast version's obviously going to be the stronger one, but Taunos is just really, really cool. A hybrid one would also be fun, but yeah, Taunos is just a really awesome commander to build around.
I was actually thinking about building a Taunos deck and then bringing it out when we play.
Yeah, you should. It's
Taunos versus Taunos.
Taunos is great. It's just really fun, yeah, making toys.
Yeah, absolutely.
My list for this one, like I said, is also pretty small.
Yeah.
I loved Urza. I'm now making my fourth Urza deck, Prince of Krug. Urza, Prince of Krug, I think, is my commander of the actual year. Like, I think that is the best one. The fact that it is a, like, $2 card is unbelievable to me. And it's so fun.
Yeah, creating tokens of artifacts. I saw or was listening to actually a podcast the other day with the CCO people. Yeah. Someone had built there was a Prince of Crew deck. It was a Voltron deck where they were beefing up Sol Ring, and I thought that was amazing.
Yes, yeah, like I liked it. Same thing. I love to like just make Howling Minds and pass the turn. Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Urza's an anthem for these creatures that it's making. Urza gives you the mana sink to make these creatures. Urza's just great. Brian just finished his, and he got he didn't get a good game with it. Someone took his commander, and
oh
yeah, kind of like pseudo infinite combo the first time he played. It was a rough night for trying to test a new deck.
Kill Brian first.
Yeah, well, no, it was. Yeah, that one was rough. Losing your commander when the whole deck is built around it is not super fun.
No, I agree.
So, yeah, no, Urza is definitely my commander of the year. Like, it's I can't say enough good things about it. And then Symmetry Matrix, I just love that card.
Oh, yeah.
The 4-mana uncommon or whatever it is that lets you, if a creature enters with the same power and toughness, pay 1, draw a card. I can't say enough how much I like that card and how many decks I've put it in so far. I bought stacks of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just so good, especially for like any kind of a white deck like that, like really needs that early ramp with the white weenies. Like that, it's just a phenomenal draw card. Like it's one of the Jumpstart commanders I'm going to talk about makes Drakes every time creature enters.
Yep.
And yeah, like it just or every time you draw your second card, it makes Drakes. So this is just like an awesome way to get more of those draw triggers off. I can't say enough good things about Symmetry Matrix. It's very cool. And then Over the Top is just probably one of the stupidest cards they've ever printed. Like not in terms of like how strong it is, but in how silly it is one of my favorite cards. I've been stuffing this into every deck that I can because this is the kind of stupidity I like to play. Mm-hmm. It's 7 mana. It's 5 and double red. Each player reveals a number of cards from the top of their library equal to the number of non-land permanents they control. They put all permanents revealed this way onto the battlefield and the rest into the graveyard. This is such a cool, stupid card, and it just... I love playing chaotic things that just end up wrecking the game for everyone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because even if everyone's got, like, 10 things, revealing the top 10 cards and putting all permanents into play is... It's game-changing. The whole game is different. It's a different sport at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Over the Top, silly. I put that one in the monkey. It's very fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, by the way, we might be doing the monkey as next week's episode just to get one out. It's Christmas time kind of thing, so it's right near the holidays. And, oh, the monkey gives and the monkey takes. It is a stupid card. It literally, it's on the stream and stuff. It'll be one of the games that's coming out. That monkey was like a 70-70. Let me tell you,
like DC boy.
Kibo, yeah, Kibo's clapping. Yeah, that one was like really, really strong. But yeah, that's all I really liked for Brothers War, like specifically.
Cool.
How about yourself?
I've got a bit more than I liked in Dominaria United for this one. It does involve a little bit of cheating, but whatever. So the first one, big one, Liberator, Urza's Battle Thopter. 3 mana for a 1/2 Thopter, flash flying. Cast colorless spells and artifact spells as though they had flash. Whenever you cast a spell, if the amount of mana spent to cast it is greater than Liberator's power, put a +1/+1 counter on it. I talked at length about this card. it's so good. It's mean. It's really mean.
It's a cool card.
Yeah. Kind of like we were saying, was that last week? You don't really get a lot of really decent colorless commanders. So to get one, especially one like that, it's made me really happy.
It's a good one.
Kind of like I mentioned, I'm going to be cheating a little bit. Goldbug, Humanity's Ally. This is one of the Transformer cards that came out with the set. This is the 1-white-blue. Prevent all combat damage to be dealt to attacking humans. When you cast your second spell, convert Goldbug.
Yep.
It's got living metal. As long as it's your turn, this vehicle is also a creature. Human spells you control can't be countered, and whenever Goldbug and at least one other human attack, draw a card and convert Goldbug.
Yeah.
This deck, I tried to build this one janky human tribal. It got really mean really fast.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And there was also Optimus Prime Hero, 3 red or blue, red, white for 4/8. Beginning of each end step, bolster 1. And when Optimus dies, return to the battlefield converted. When it's converted, it's a 6/8. It's got trample. Whenever you attack, bolster 2. The chosen creature gains trample until end of turn. When that creature deals combat damage to a player this turn, convert Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
It's just so much. I really, really liked the Transformer cards with this set. But other than those two, I got Portal to Phyrexia was one of my favorites as well. 9 mana, enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices 3 creatures. At the beginning of your upkeep, put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It's a Phyrexian in addition to its other types.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really, really liked this one. I think that it just hoses if you can get to the 9 mana to get it out and have it not be countered. Where did you go?
Which one are you looking for?
There is. Queen Caelebyn Krug was another one that I really liked. Yep. From this set. 1 red, white for 2/3 legendary human noble. You can pay 4 and tap Queen Kayla. Discard all cards in your hand, then draw that many cards. You may choose an artifact or creature card with mana value 1 that you discarded this way. Then do the same for an artifact or creature card with mana values 2 and 3. Return them to the battlefield. Activate only as a sorcery.
Yeah.
This deck was fun. Then, yeah, we got like Taunos, Urza, like you mentioned. I think that was all that I had for this set too.
That's fair. That brings us to the very last thing that released, because of course that couldn't be enough. It's the new Jumpstart stuff.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say there's just a few legendaries. Number one is the monkey, and the monkey is stupid. It makes makes bananas. Makes bananas, takes bananas. I love the monkey.
the monkey.
Yeah, that's Kibo Uktabi Prince. It makes taps to make bananas. The bananas tap and sacrifice to make a green or a red, and then you gain 2 life. And then whenever artifacts go to opponent's graveyard, Kibo gets a 1/1.
Yeah.
And you make people sack when you attack with Kibo. The monkey attack.
So good.
Yeah, it's a really good card. Like I said, I can't say enough good things about that one. That one's really fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
you also mentioned Alondra.
Yeah, that I think is like the best draw commander that exists right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find specifically where I have my list. Yes, okay. So yeah, that one is... There we go. It's 2 and a blue, so it's a Merfolk Wizard 2/4. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, you get a 2/2 blue Drake with flying, which is great as a draw commander, like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you draw your fifth card each turn, Alondra, Sky Dreamer, and Drakes you control get XX until X a turn, where X is the number of cards in your hand. So again, if you're drawing 5, it's going to be a minimum of 5, so that's crazy.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, even just at the bare minimum, that's a stack of 7/7 flyers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool one from it. I really like Zask as well, the Skittering Swarm Lord. It's the 3 triple green. You can play lands and insects from your graveyard. I think that makes 2 very distinctly unique decks possible with Zask.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Right, so like one is like a obviously just a hyper ramp, like strip mine the field deck.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
And the other is just like cool insects, like you can play things like Grist.
Yeah.
Then what was my other one? Preston the Vanisher is just really cool for ETBs. Preston's not good enough to stand on his own, I don't think.
Preston the Vanisher.
Yeah, it's 3 and a white for a 2/5 rabbit wizard. Whenever another non-token enters the battlefield, if it wasn't cast, you create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a 0/1 white illusion. Then it has 1 and white, sac 5 illusions, exile target, non-land permanent. I desperately wish this was a multicolor commander, but get what you get.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, if this was... I understand, because if they had made this Bant, this would be, like, the Bant commander for Blink.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Right, so, like, of course. And if they had made it Azorius, it'd be the same thing. Like, you'd run it all the time.
Yeah.
And then Argus Kos, specifically because of how fun his interactions are. Eternal Soldier, that's 3 and a... And I just like Boros as well. 3 and a white, it's a 3/4 Spirit Soldier. Vigilance, whenever Argus Kos, Eternal Soldier, becomes a target of an ability that targets only it. You can pay one and then either a white or a blue. If you do, you copy that ability for each other creature you control that it could target, and each copy chooses a different target. Each copy targets a different one.
Yeah.
So like Sword of Hearth and Home is a great example. That's an ability that targets once you've done the damage. So it's you remove target creature and then go get a land. It's all mm-hmm. part of the same ability. So with like two mana open with Argus, you'll blink your whole board. You'll get all of your... Yeah, so blinking your whole board is great, especially if you have something like that Preston out. And then you'll get a land for each creature you control every time you swing that way, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one a lot. Like I said, the monkey. And then probably the one I'm the most excited to currently build is it's the next one that I'm building for the good old fiance, and that's Knessos, Priest of Thassa. And I think that this is just a very, very cool card that was really, really well designed. It is one and a blue. It's a 1/3 Merfolk Cleric.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd scry a number of cards, scry that many plus one instead, which is just a great ability overall. Like more knowledge is never going to hurt you in games. And then it has 3 and 1 blue or 1 green. You look at the top card of your library. If it's a Kraken, Leviathan, Octopus, or Serpent, you can put it onto the battlefield. If you don't, you put it on the bottom. You may put it on the bottom. I really like stuff like that where you just get that ability to top deck manipulate. The scry is going to let you know what's up top, so you've got a ton of game knowledge. And you can dump these huge things like Alorthos the Tidemaker in for 4 mana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those.
Yeah, I really, really like this. Is just Krakens, Leviathans, they're all always so expensive.
Yeah, right.
Like mana value-wise. So being able to cheat those in for 4, it's... I also really liked this commander when it was spoiled. And it's another phenomenal budget commander, too.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Because all you essentially need is a little bit of ramp.
Yeah.
And even if you don't go into the scry path where you top deck manipulate and stuff, all you need is just ramp, so you can just keep ramping like 8 cost Leviathan, so you can just keep being like 4 mana, let's see what we get. Leviathan Roulette is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's, again, lots of really, really cool ones, like Holebreaker Horror is a Kraken. You can roll into that. Mm-hmm. I've got, that's a deck I'm in the middle of building right now, and I've got like, again, Simic Sky Swallower, a 6/6 flying trample shroud that's 7 mana. Cheating that in for 4 is like awesome. You've got things like a Whelming Wave where you return all creatures except for Krakens, Leviathans, Octopuses to their hand. Mm-hmm. Like you've got all these awesome things. Charix is that's a Leviathan Crab 0/17 for 4.
And you got Coma as well.
Well, yeah, getting Coma in is crazy.
Or what was it called? It was one from, I want to say, the first Commander Legends precons.
AC?
Yes. Yeah, that's Serpent 2, isn't it?
Yeah, AC Tyrant of Gyre Strait. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Again, it's just a really cool one. I think it's really fun to be able to use those. And that's another deck, like you said. I think you can build very budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can build a very fun deck with it. And then also, it really is a great deck to teach players how to play the game, because you can use that ability whenever you want, right? So you know what's up top, and you're able to just be like, okay, well, you attack me, I flash in an 8/8.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I bring in Octavia.
I'll bring in Holebreaker Horror and...
Holebreaker Horror, and I'll cast a Brainstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and exactly, things like a Brainstorm, right? You draw 2 cards, draw 3, put 2 from your hand back, and you know that it's going to be 2 horrors that you can hit, or 2... Like Krakens, they are technically horrors that way. They're horrific to come out of 4.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, that's one I'm very excited. We'll be definitely doing a deck check on that one coming up. But
yeah,
Kibo is great. If anyone has recently built Kibo, my advice is you need Trample, because that it just gets out of hand so fast. Like that monkey gets so big. I was definitely monkeying around that game.
Ha.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I made those terrible jokes all last night repeatedly.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you're glad you weren't here. But yes, no, I will. We'll wrap it there unless you had any other final ones or any thoughts on favorite cards of the year.
I do have a couple.
Okay.
Anti-Blight, Bad Influence.
Yeah, that's cool.
2 and a red, legendary human or devil advisor, 2/2. Whenever a source you control deals damage to you, put that many +1/+1 counters on Anti-Blight. Or you can pay 1 and tap or one in a red and tap Anti-Blight to remove X plus one plus one counters and deal X damage to any target.
Yeah, that's really so good.
I really, really enjoy this one. And there was also a Pirated Copy, four in a red for a 0/0 Shapeshifter Pirate. You may have it enter as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it's a pirate in addition to other types, and has whenever this creature deals, or whenever this creature or another creature with the same name deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card.
Yeah, that's I keep forgetting that that's such a good card.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that was about it that we hadn't mentioned for my list for this set. So what was your favorite card of the year in general? If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one favorite card of the year, it's probably going to be Urza or Wilson, just based raw on the number of decks I've actually made with them.
That's fair.
But I was going to say as well, like, that would be hard because Kayma and Glunch as well, those are decks that I constantly go back to. They're very fun. They're very, like, politics-friendly decks that are, like, really, really get you talking to a new table. They're great for that. So if you don't really know how to approach a new group of people, playing a deck like the Glunch, like, it is not an expensive deck. Playing stuff like that is really, really solid. So I don't know. I would have a very hard time picking just one favorite card of the year.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It probably would be one of those four. Urza was great. Kayma was great. Wilson, yeah. I can't get enough of Wilson. Like, I keep building silly decks like that. How about you?
Oh, easily Abdel.
That's fair.
He's easily Abdel. He's just the versatility on him. He's so much fun to play in every deck that I've built with him.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to build Abdel. Like, no matter which, like, background you pick, you're going to be able to do something cool.
You have to build really Abdel like. Abdwell.
Exactly.
Thank you. All right, I'll stop making terrible puns. Okay, I will wrap there again. There we go. Thank you, everyone, for listening, getting to the end. Let us know what your favorite card is. I do genuinely want to know. Like, did we miss stuff? Did we forget things? There's obviously so many cards this year, so I wouldn't be shocked if we did. Again, check out Abyss Proxy Shop if there's anything on the list that's a little too expensive for buying. Great prices, great service, great quality. Get out to your game store, buy these cards, you know, support them so we still have a place to go. Like, just because Wizards is annoying us doesn't mean we shouldn't be getting out and doing that. Really helps us out as well if you leave ratings, reviews, let us know what you think and stuff. Check out all of the streams that we've been doing. We live stream on Twitch now all the time. We're also putting up lots of videos of the gameplay. We've got some really exciting ones coming out in the next few weeks because they were really, really fun with a good friend of ours. So yeah, and Slothy's in them as well. Rando number 4. It's yeah, very, very fun games overall. I'm hoping that Slothy gets over to do some more streaming soon. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and with that, yeah, like I said, let us know what you guys thought the best card was of the year, and we'll talk to you in a bit.
See ya.